They seem to come and go. What exactly are they importing? She looked away. If you're not a government man, then I guess you wouldn't be interested. I followed her gaze toward the distant trees. Think, Reacher. This could be an elaborate con game designed to flush me out. They could all be in it together. His gate man's hand on his wife's breast would be a small price for Beck to pay for some crucial information. And I believed in elaborate con games. I had to. I was riding one myself. I'm not a government man.
Then I'm disappointed.
I put the car in drive, held my foot on the brake. Where to?
Do you think I care where the hell we go?
You want to get some coffee?
Coffee?
Sure. Go south. Let's stay well away from Portland today. I made the turn south onto Route 1, about a mile short of I-95. It was a pleasant old road, like roads used to be. We passed through a place called Old Orchard Beach. It had neat brick sidewalks and Victorian streetlights. There were signs pointing left to a beach. There were faded French flags. I guessed Quebec Canadians had vacationed there before cheap airfares to Florida and the Caribbean had changed their preferences.
Why were you out last night?
Elizabeth Beck asked me. I said nothing.
You can't deny it. Did you think I hadn't seen you?
He didn't react.
I was in poly mode. I've trained myself not to react.
I said nothing.
Your room was locked.
I climbed out the window. I don't like to be locked in.
What did you do then?
I took a stroll, like I thought you were doing.
Then you climbed back in?
I nodded, said nothing.
The wall is your big problem. There are the lights and the razor wire, obviously. But there are sensors, too, in the ground. Polly would hear you from 30 yards away.
I was just getting some air.
No sensors under the driveway. They couldn't make them work under the blacktop. But there's a camera on the lodge, and there's a motion alarm on the gate itself.
Do you know what an NSV is? Soviet tank turret machine gun?
Polly's got one. He keeps it by the side door. He's been told to use it if he hears the motion alarm.
I breathed in, and then I breathed out. An NSV is more than 5 feet long and weighs more than 55 pounds. It uses cartridges 4.5 inches long and 1/2 inch wide. It can fire 12 of them in a second. It has no safety mechanism. The combination of Pauly and an NSV would be nobody's idea of fun.
But I think you swam. I can smell the sea on your shirt, very faintly. You didn't dry yourself properly when you got back.
We passed a sign for a town called Sauco. I coasted to the shoulder and stopped again. Cars and trucks whined past us.
You were incredibly lucky. There are some bad riptides off the point, strong undertow. But I expect you went in behind the garages, in which case you missed them by about 10 feet.
I don't work for the government.
Don't you?
Don't you think you're taking a hell of a chance? Let's say I wasn't exactly what I appeared to be, just for the sake of argument. Let's say I was from a rival organization, for instance. Don't you see the risk? You think you would make it back to the house alive, saying what you're saying? She looked away.
Then I guess that will be the test. If you're a government man, you won't kill me. If you're not, you will.
I'm just a guy. You could get me in trouble.
Let's find coffee, she said. Sauco is a nice town. All the big mill owners lived there way back.
We ended up on an island in the middle of the Sauco River. There was an enormous brick building on it that had been a gigantic mill way back in history. Now it was being gentrified into hundreds of offices and stores. We found a glass and chrome coffee shop called Café Café. A pun in French, I guessed. But the smell alone was worth the trip. I ignored the lattes and the flavored foamy stuff and ordered regular coffee, hot, black, large. Then I turned to Elizabeth Beck.
She shook her head. You stay. I've decided to go shopping. Alone. I'll meet you back here in 4 hours.
I said nothing.
I don't need your permission. You're just my driver.
I don't have any money.
She gave me $20 from her purse. I paid for the coffee and carried it to a table. She came with me and watched me sit down. 4 hours. Maybe a little more, but no less, in case there's something you need to do.
I've got nothing to do. I'm just your driver.
She looked at me, zipped her purse. The space around my table was tight. She twisted a little to get the strap of her purse square on her shoulder, jackknifed slightly to avoid touching the table and spilling my coffee. There was a clunk, like plastic hitting the floor. I looked down. Something had fallen out from under her skirt. She stared at it, and her face slowly turned a deep shade of red. She bent and picked the thing up and clutched it in her hand, fumbled her way onto the chair opposite me like all the strength had gone out of her, like she was utterly humiliated. She was holding a pager. It was a black plastic rectangle, a little smaller than my own email device. She stared at it. Her neck was bright red all the way down under her sweater. She spoke in a low, rueful whisper.
He makes me carry it there, inside my underpants. He likes it to have what he calls the appropriate effect when it buzzes. He checks that it's there every time I go through the gate. Normally I take it out and put it in my bag afterward, but I didn't want to do that, you know, this time with you watching.
I said nothing. She stood up, blinked twice, and took a breath and swallowed.
4 hours, in case there's something you need to do.
Then she walked away. I watched her go. She turned left outside the door and disappeared.
An elaborate con game?
It was possible that they could try to set me up with her story. Possible that she could carry a pager in her pants to back it up. Possible that she could contrive to shake it loose at exactly the right moment. All possible. But what wasn't even remotely possible was that she could manufacture a deep red blush right on cue. Nobody can do that. Not even the world's finest actress at the peak of her powers could do that. So Elizabeth Beck was for real. I didn't abandon sensible precautions entirely. They were too deeply ingrained for that. I finished my coffee like an innocent person with all the time in the world. Then I strolled out to the mall's internal sidewalks and turned random lefts and rights until I was sure I was alone. Then I went back to the coffee shop and bought another cup, borrowed their restroom key, and locked myself in, sat on the lid of the John and took off my shoe. There was a message waiting from Duffy. Why interest in Teresa Daniels' real name? I ignored it and sent, "Where is your motel?" 90 seconds later, she answered, "What did you have for breakfast, first day in Boston?" I smiled. Duffy was a practical woman. She was worried my email device had been compromised. She was asking a security question. I sent, "Short stack with egg, coffee, $3 tip." I ate it. Any other answer than that, and she would be running for her car. 90 seconds later, she came back with, "West side of Route 1, 100 yards south of Kennebunk River." I figured that was about 10 miles away. I sent, "See you in 10 minutes."